Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And with all that he's doing for everybody, he loves people. And he's concerned about saving his heritage. He loves us. No farmer wants the fruit to go to waste. They don't want their harvest to go to waste. They want their harvest to be harvested and used for the good. And Jesus Christ paid for all of us, all of our sins. This is our one chance to get on board
this life we have.
If we believe on Jesus Christ and walk in his way before it's over, if we believe on him, receiving salvation, we get to live forever. Everybody that goes to heaven, they believed on Jesus Christ, even all the way back to Adam, because Jesus preached to those that were captive in the paradise and in hell. He preached to them. And those that believed, they lived forever. They were pure. They didn't do evil. They didn't want evil. They rejected evil. And they chose the living life of God. That's what we have in common. So we, those that go to heaven, they'll never ever do what Satan did. They'll never ever make the choices Satan did. So he's going to spit out the lukewarm believers. They believed on Jesus, then they went back to the world and rejected him. They became treacherous. And they would not repent. Now some people went lukewarm and Jesus said repent, and they did repent. And they came out of their treacherous ways. And they stopped committing adultery and watching pornography and doing things that they shouldn't. They repented and they feared God again. And then their tares, they never had allegiance to God. They lived a facade and they worked evil. And I want you to understand something clear. People that work evil, they don't know how bad it is. When they nailed Jesus to the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Sometimes evil people, the treachery they do, the evil that they do, they don't know the condition they're really in. They don't know that they're about to get flushed into hell. So it's our job to love them just like God loves us. And he wants everybody that can be saved to be saved. And some people will be assets. They'll get saved and they'll be on fire for God and they'll do God's will. And I want to share something about lukewarm believers. A person can be actively doing things and look like they're on fire for God, but their heart is not with him. A person can just love God and all they do is go home and sit on their couch. But they love God, they love people, they're never unkind. That person's on fire. They're just inactive. An inactive person is not always a lukewarm person. That's how I used to think that a lukewarm person is. A lukewarm person is more like King Saul after David, after he lost his position and God fired him. Now he was still the king, he was still recognized, but God had left him. He was even still anointed, but God fired him. And when God hired David, Saul became treacherous against David. And he was still in the position. He was still holding the position. But he ended up seeking a witch to talk to the prophet Samuel. And then he ended up begging an Amalekite to kill him. He should have repented. A lukewarm person, they'll sin without repenting. We're not saved. Our salvation is not based on the works that we do. A lazy person, as bad as laziness is not good. You have to get out there and do God's will. Some people, they don't want God to call them to the ministry because they don't want to be responsible. But they love their brother. They love, every chance they get, they tell people about Jesus. They just don't want the commitment, or God didn't call them to do it. But they support other ministries. And, you know, they're not aggressive. Sometimes people take being on fire for God to be aggressive. But even an aggressive person can be lukewarm. Saul was aggressive, but he had left his first love. He loved his position more than he loved God. I asked the Lord for some examples about being lukewarm. I said, Lord, give me some pictorials. Who was like a lukewarm person? Who was like a tear? And Doeg came to mind, one of Saul's captains in his military. Doeg was like a tear. He had no allegiance to God, and he probably never had allegiance to God. More like an opportunist. He didn't have any qualms about killing the priest when other soldiers wouldn't do it. And Saul gave the order. That's why I'm saying lukewarm people are treacherous and sometimes more dangerous than a tear. And then there's wolves. A wolf is a kind of preacher that all he care about is pride, prestige, and greed. And he doesn't care anything about God's people. He don't care anything about the dying harvest, people that could be saved. He has no love for them. He's just a wolf in sheep clothing. And I don't like talking about them. It's aggravating to think that a person can be that way. Now, you wouldn't be that way. I'm not that way. And people always think that people are just like them. That's why it's so hard to fathom or to consider somebody being such an evil person. But God sees it, and Jesus talked about it. And they exist. And we desire for them to get saved and know God. And in some conditions, people that did all kind of treachery can be saved, can be saved. They hadn't blasphemed the Holy Spirit yet. And there's still a chance. I was listening to Henry Gruber, and when people blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they probably die. And he gave an example of a man that didn't want his daughter to be baptized. And she came and got baptized, and he was drunk. And he was a Catholic. He was Catholic, but his daughter wanted to be saved, and she came and got saved, and she got baptized. And the day she got baptized, he came to get her, and he said, I'll baptize you. He put beer on her head. He said, I baptize you in Jesus, in the name of of the Son and the Father. And when he said Holy Spirit, he just dropped dead. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Spirit, and they dropped dead. And when I heard that testimony, I said, you know, if a person blasphemed the Holy Spirit, they probably won't even get to live anymore. And I believe that what he said was true. Now, if you don't believe that, that's fine. You go to God about it. Some things you have to take to the Lord. Some things I believe, you know, the example that he gave and what happened next, that was enough for me. But if the Lord give me any, you know, I'll ask the Lord for more information about that. But right now, I do believe that that's true. So if a person's still breathing, I still love them, and I still desire that they'll go to heaven. Now, it's important to be on board with God. God understands all things, and you have to trust Him. You have to trust what He sees, what He understands. So keep Him first, and you'll be safe. You don't ever want to be praying against the perfect will of God. If you're believing God for something, or if you believe in God for a situation, and He interrupts you and tells you to believe this way, or He gives you more information, go with what He's doing. And don't go back on it. Because God will not do you wrong. He will tell you the right thing. He will show you what's right. As we go forward in the Lord doing His perfect will, we can follow Him, and we can go forward. And we can do the things of God. And He loves us so much. As we go forward doing His perfect will, we're going to get to know Him better. If you settle for His permissive will, you're not going to get to know Him the same way. We get to know the Lord by relating to Him, by obeying Him. And as we do His perfect will, I promise you, you will learn a whole lot more from God. You'll have better, your relationship with Him will increase even better because you're doing what He designed you to do. And you will probably more likely live much longer and better. Yesterday's broadcast, we talked about not letting people interfere with the perfect will of God. There's no reason to let people interfere with the perfect will of God. And you know, when you desire to do His perfect will, ask Him to help you do it. And sometimes people in your life may not want to do what you're doing, but you have to. If there's a way to do it, do it. Henry Grover's mother was called to China, but her husband wouldn't let her go. But she was his wife. But she did what she could. She prayed for China, and then Henry Grover was able to do some things there and be a blessing. There's a way to do all things. There's a way to be obedient to God. If it's His perfect will for you to do something like that, and you're restricted, your health may be down, God can heal you if it is. Or you have to take care of your family or a loved one or something. Your prayers avail much. There is always a way to do something towards the will of God. So do it. Do what you can do. And ask God to increase you. I minister all over the world by the website. So there is a way to do what you're called to do. And God is wise. He knows what He needs you to do. He can open and shut doors for you. If you desire to get married, but it's His will for you to be in a certain place at a specific time in your life, He can close the door so you can't get married until you do that. But if He does that for you, do it. Go with Him. And if He give you a spouse that's willing to go with you, fine. Be adjustable. And be on fire for God about whatever it is you're doing. Be wholehearted. Fully committed. That doesn't mean that you're going to act a certain way. That doesn't mean that you're going to act aggressive. Use your own personality. Because God, sometimes He called us to do something because of our personality that He gave us. Your parents, you know, you came out with that personality. That's precisely what God needs. Sometimes he need aggressive people. Sometimes He need quiet people. Sometimes He need thinkers. Sometimes he need people that's not in a hurry to be seen. Sometimes he need personalities that don't want to be noticed. So whatever you got that he needs, talk to him about it and utilize it. On fire for God. Being on fire does not mean you have to perform a certain way. All being on fire is your dedication level, is look. You love God from the heart and you care about his people like he does. You're wholehearted, you're not trying to squeeze the world in your life somewhere. Being on fire loves God and rejects evil. David said, every evil way I hate. And that's a good confession for modern day Christians who love God. I don't leave my hatred of the world to happenstance. I determine to hate certain things that have been a snare to me, that have been a weakness before, or things that God hates. I never really had a problem with pride that I know of, but I didn't leave it to happenstance. I said I hate it because that's the sin God hates the most. Lust and greed. I decided when I was a child watching movies, you know, I said, I'm not going to fall out with people over money. I love my relatives, I love my friends more than I love money. I can always get money. I may lose some money, but I love my friends. I'm not going to fall out over $100 or $1,000 or whatever. And my mother taught me to forgive people, and I saw the value and beauty of it. It touches God's heart when you can forgive like he does. So greed wasn't a problem. And I'm a businessman. I can charge what I want. But I don't want to be the kind of person that overcharges me. And I don't want to be the kind of person that won't help people when they need me to. Now, I can't help everybody every time they need me to, but I try. And the Lord got on me about charging. You got it? I'll charge too little before I charge too much. And God wants it fair. He wants me to charge what I'm supposed to charge. And he gave me a protocol I go by. Some people may think it's too high, but I have to charge that to be on obedience with God. Being on fire for God is being dedicated, fully dedicated, wholehearted. I'm not going to let the things of God drop. And I don't control people. Everybody that gets it, if you represent Jesus Christ, if you portray him the way he really is, people are going to want to be included. And nothing's going to stop them from coming out of the world once they understand. And I pray for that. I pray that the Lord will help me live a way that people can understand and know God. I ask him to help me represent him right. Sometimes I think I'm doing a good job representing him, but you know, there could be room for adjustments. In our shop, we like to joke a lot, but sometimes that can get in the way. So I try to keep that well balanced, so I don't offend people. The enemy is slick, and you have to think like he does. You have to be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. You have to understand some things can offend people and ruin your chance to get them saved. And I love people more than I love jokes. And the Lord talked against jesting. So the way we carry on, you know, I have to govern it. I love it. You have to make adjustments. Wholehearted. Now God loves us and he cares about us. He, you know, he gave us the ability to laugh. Now's a way to do everything the right way. But whatever adjustments I need to make, that's what I want to do. God loves us. He loves us and he's worthy to have a people that love him. Now, whatever God put in your heart to do, do it with a bless it. Ask God to bless it. You can bless what you do. your words avail much, just like your prayers avail much. There's a way to do it. Ask for the wisdom. Ask for the knowledge. If God told you to do it, you have the anointing. Whatever God put in your heart, that's where your anointing is. If you want to do something, and that's not what God put in your heart, but you put something in motion by wanting something, guess what? It'll take an anointing to do it. If you're trying to do something that God didn't tell you to do, then ask for that situation, but God will send somebody with the anointing, and they'll assist you or they'll do it. And the person with the anointing will get it done. If you're a pastor and you desire anointed worship, God can send somebody that's anointed if you don't sing. You want the person anointing. They're going to be affected. You will only be anointed for what God told you to do. Now, God can anoint you to do other things. I'm not limiting him, but you have to have the anointing. And if you do have the anointing, good, do it. If somebody else has the anointing, if there's a revelation, if God gives somebody a revelation, they have the anointing to deliver. When God introduces new revelation, if you want that revelation, you have to become a student to them. God called me to be an apostle, but there are people out there, you know, the prophet is subject to the prophet. And then people say, well, teachers are not on the same scale. They're not put first like the apostle was put first. But here's the way it works, folks. The teacher teaches people, and some of the people that the teacher teaches becomes apostles. Pastors help people grow in the Lord, and some of the people that he pastors become apostles and prophets. So it's important to understand that the prophet is subject to the prophet. The apostle can be subject to the teacher. The teacher can be subject to the apostle. It's not about prestige. It's about even a person that's not in the fivefold ministry, if God give them a revelation, a wise apostle will listen as a student. Now that don't happen in Satan's camp. But that's when people try to operate like Satan, they lose too much. Sometimes the people that have the anointing, you have to recognize it, and you have to approach them and be the student for a change. And so it is with everybody. But that doesn't discredit your office. That means you're wiser and you're not like Satan. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you, and God loves you. He truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.